Dear friends, we are meditating on a hymn, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. And I'd like to remind you or inform you that the hymn is based on a very old text, an old medieval poem in Latin from around the year 1100, perhaps. And the poem is really about the various parts of Jesus' body as he's hanging on the tree. It's a very long poem. But at the end, the poem gets to the head of Christ and speaks about his wounded head. Now, it's attributed to Bernard of Clairvaux, who was in medieval times responsible for the rise in monasteries in France. But later, much later, that last part, the last few verses of the poem were translated into German by the prolific hymn writer John Gerhard, and it quickly became a favorite of Lutherans in this time of the year we're in right now, in Lent and in Holy Week. And we're thinking about stanza 2, which we'll sing in just a few moments. But in stanza 2, the hymn talks about the sore abuse and scorn that came upon Jesus' head as he was hanging there crucified, and how his head hung with anguish. Now, this really began in Jesus' life a long time before the physical abuse started, because it began with the actions of a close friend of his, this scorn and abuse and anguish. It was a friend whom he loved, a companion that he had traveled many miles and ate many meals with. This was a wound that weighed down Jesus' head, perhaps, and more so, and brought him more sorrow than the weight of the sin of the world that he bore on the cross. I mean, personally, his own friends betraying him. "One of you will betray me." Those are his words to his disciples as he sat at the table that night. And they became sad, and they looked at each other, and they looked at him and said, "Is it me, Lord? Am I the one that's going to do it?" We too should ask that question of the Lord. "Jesus, have I sold you out? Have I lived for this world and for the pleasures of living here and now? Rather than wanting you, spending time with you, hearing your voice in the scriptures, praying to you, have I lived as if I mattered most and you mattered not at all? Is it I, Lord, who have betrayed you?" Well, he makes it clear. The wound of betrayal is not inflicted upon him by those who are distant from him, from those who are not his companions, his friends, his chosen ones. No, this is a pain that comes from close to home, from those nearest to him, and from those whom he held in a special love. "He who dips his hand into the dish with me will betray me," says Christ. Not someone distant and unknown, but someone near, dear, and beloved. But note the love of the Lord. Do not think for a second that the Lord's love for Judas, his betrayer, was altered by that betrayal. The Psalms speak of this and speak of Christ. And when they say in the 145th Psalm, verse 9, "The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made." He loved this man who would go his own senseless way and then despair of what he had done and lost forever. For Judas, the betrayal was so big a sin that he was convinced that he would never get the forgiveness of his sins again. He thought what he had done was too bad to be forgiven, to betray Jesus and to sell him for silver. Oh, the betrayal was a horrible sin in Judas and a horrible sin in us. What on earth can justify handing over the Creator of all, who has showed his benevolence and love for us, into that torture, that agony of the crucifixion and the death? What madness is it that would lead a creature to betray the Creator to such a death as this? For that matter, what folly is it for us to chase a few bucks in this world and forsake the life that never ends? The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he'd never been born. Did our Lord ever utter such a terrifying word? But you see, people of God, this isn't spoken of Judas because he was to betray the Lord, that he was angry at Judas or anything like that. When we see the Jesus of Scripture, we see that he speaks this out of anguish for Judas. His compassion that he saw in his way where Judas would end his life, and in the end that Judas would despair of the mercy of God, and he would go to the grave believing that his sin was stronger than the mercy of God that Jesus was going to the cross to bring. And it broke our Lord's heart even more to see that happen to his friend, his disciple. How little Judas understood the Son of God who he betrayed. For it was also the sin of Judas and the sin of all of us Judases that the Son of Man stretched out his hands on the wood and let them put the nails through. It was for the sin of Judas and for all of us Judases that the Son of Man pleaded, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." It was the sin of Judas and all of us Judases that the Lord of life let grim death with cruel rigor, as our hymn says, rob him of his life so that sin and death would lose their claim over us forever. The pain of betrayal is great, and it wounded our Lord's tender heart. But do you see that the pain of that he endured could never turn his heart into bitterness toward us? In that heart there lives a love so great, so strong, so mighty, that it could never be turned to bitterness or hatred. Although betrayal hurt and felt like hell itself, perhaps, to Jesus, he went on loving Judas, and even you and me. And this is the wonderful thing, that in the wounds of this crucified one, we find a love that sets us free to love as we have been loved. Too many times in life, we leave people behind. They wound us through their betrayal, through their words about us, through their actions. And we say, "I'm not going to deal with that person anymore," and we shut them out. That is not the way of a Christian, because that is not the way of the Christ. We follow Christ. And so our continual prayer must be for that person, no matter what they have done to us or said about us. Father, forgive them. And help me, O Lord, to love them as you have loved me. Our Lord spoke often about taking up our cross and following him. Do you see that what your cross is? You are betrayed when you love, just as he was. Instead of your love being returned, it's rejected, and such betrayal hurts, and it wounds you in unspeakable ways, and you're crushed, and you're reduced to tears. And then that old Adam inside us rises up in indignation and anger and eagerness to get even. But by the strength of Christ's cross and the power of your baptism into his love, you get to nail that old fellow to the cross, and you say, "No, the power of him who forgave me, even though I betrayed him so many times, by that power I now forgive. And by the power of him who loved me, even when I sold him out, I will love you, the one who's loved me." This is our cross, my friends, to love even when it's not returned. to support even when we're betrayed. And it'll be the torture and death of the old Adam in us, but to the new self that God has created in baptism, well, it is joy and it is life. And you will be sharing in the very life of your Savior as you carry out his words. We have not yet begun to love with Christ's love until we have come by God's grace to love those we thought were our friends, but who have betrayed us and hurt us and brought us sorrow. And when we go on loving them and seeking good for them and their blessing, a feat of impossible strength for a fallen human nature, but possible in communion with the love of Christ, then we begin to taste something that we've never tasted before. The joy known by the martyrs of Christ across the centuries. Those who loved and prayed for the people who brought death even to them. As often as our church celebrates the Eucharist, that is Holy Communion, as we do today, the church celebrates a love that is in her Savior, which is stronger than all our betrayals, a love that gives us, that God gives us freely in that body and blood that won us forgiveness. Forgiveness for Judas, though he didn't receive it. Forgiveness for you and for me and for all. It's our experience of such love that frees us and strengthens us to bear the wounds of betrayal ourselves, following our Lord with joy. So may he give us grace to do so, our crucified and risen Lord. To him be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. May God's peace be with you now and always.